Damaged Goods, Chapter 39. Were they snatchers or just muggles hired to deliver her to someone who was going to apparate her to Bellatrix? She didn't have her wand since she was in Muggle, London. The two men slowly walked closer to her. She was about to run when the door opened. Draco stood there, his expensive coat draped over his arm. He was dressed like someone who was just about to attend a classical concert, but his face told a different story.
"Gentlemen," he said with a sharp smile that could cut, "where are your manners?"
Draco was taller than the men, but they were much bulkier. Hired muscle and all that.
"This is a twat they warned us about," one of them asked the other. "Little tough boy, time to run back to daddy?"
They laughed and Draco joined in. A cold laugh that made her instantly tense. She knew he was lethal with a wand, but this would be a fistfight. She had seen him in a fight with Ron, but that was Ron. These guys were doing this for a living, and she had no idea how Draco would shape up against them. Just looking at them, an outsider would surely bet on the two guys with neck tattoos. But there was always something shimmering in Draco's eyes that suggested a deeper set of rage. They had turned dark mercury again, almost black. He hadn't even looked at her, and she was sure he was using occlumency, pushing all other emotions aside so one of them could shine brightest. Rage.
"Make you a deal," one of the men said to Draco. "We'll take your little girlfriend here and walk out that door. You'll let us because we both know your life ain't worth that pussy."
Draco smiled widely until his teeth were showing.
"Put your hands on her and you'll regret it," he said with a chuckle, making the warning even more dangerous sounding.
The men laughed and shook their heads. One of them took her arm.
"I think..."
Everything happened in rapid succession. Draco punched one guy so hard in his throat he choked and collapsed to the ground. The other let Hermione go and swung at Draco, who was quicker and dodged his attempt. He grabbed him by the face and smashed his head against the mirror. The guy fought back, punching Draco in the kidneys, but he didn't stop. He slammed his head against the mirror over and over again until it shattered. Blood was spraying everywhere, and then his body slumped. Hermione was sure he was dead, but Draco didn't stop until part of his head had caved in. She closed her eyes but heard the continued thud of the guy's head getting smashed in further. He was clearly long dead. Perhaps Draco wouldn't have let that slow him down either, was it not for the second guy backing up off the floor. The guy put Draco in a chokehold. Draco bent his knees, grabbed the guy's arm and dropped him over his shoulder to the ground. Still dazed, the guy didn't have time to get back up, as Draco kicked him in the head. Hermione thought this was when they would leave, but Draco wasn't done. He grabbed the guy by his collar and dragged him over to the open bathroom stall, pushing his head underwater, knees digging into his back. The man was still fighting, but his movements were already less coordinated than before. Draco lifted his head for a second, and he gasped for air before he pushed him underwater again, arms and legs flailing aimlessly. Draco pulled his face up once more as he was spitting out water.
"You know what makes me the angriest?"
Draco asked, in a voice that chilled her to the bone.
"You just ruined my favourite suit."
He pushed his face underwater again. Then he stood up and she thought he finally had enough. But when the guy lifted his head out of the toilet, coughing and gasping for air, Draco stomped on his face with full force. The sound of his skull cracking against porcelain made her sick to her stomach. Hermione couldn't see exactly what had happened to his face, but she saw the blood pouring down as his entire body collapsed. She stood there, hands trembling from what she had just witnessed. Draco inhaled deeply and walked to the sink, washing his hands as if he hadn't just brutally killed two men. It's not that she pitied them. They had come to kidnap her, but the sheer violence from him had taken her by surprise, and she wasn't quite sure why she was still surprised when she knew of his past. Was that what Snape meant when he said Draco couldn't be saved? He stood at the sink, looking at his reflection in the broken mirror that was covered in pieces of flesh and blood. He grabbed a paper towel and cleaned off the splatter of red dots from his pale face. Then he picked up his coat from the ground and put it on, hiding the white shirt that was now covered in red spray. He ran his hands through his hair, adjusting a few strands that had fallen out of place. Finally, he turned to her, and without saying a word, he took her hand and led her out of the bathroom. The music at the bar was still playing loudly, and nobody here had any idea that there were two dead men in the bathroom. People were sipping on their cocktails, flirting with their partners and laughing with their friends, oblivious to the evil around them. A few minutes ago, she had been one of them. Now, her reality had caught up with her. When they reached the street, the cool air felt soothing on her skin. Draco's steps were fast and determined, his hand on hers like a vice grip.
"Are there any hidden spots nearby?"
he asked, eyes fixed on his surroundings. The scenes from minutes ago replayed in her brain on an endless loop. "Why? Where are we going?"
"To the manor, since we obviously can't go back to the apartment. It's no longer safe here. Bellatrix has snatchers in the Muggle world."
She hadn't really walked around here before, looking for hidden places one could apparate from. Draco pulled her along as he took a sharp turn to the left, and they were in a dark alley. He pulled her against him and they disapparated, reappearing in the manor. He instantly checked the wards around the estate, and her eyes fell on a copy of the Daily Prophet on the table in the hallway. "Minister Scrigmore dead, his evil plan revealed." A picture of Scrigmore was accompanied by the article that talked about the wand and his plan to turn unsuspecting former Death Eaters into an army through a permanent Imperius curse. There was another article with a picture of Harry.
"Harry Potter says Scrigmore death still under investigation. Harry Potter gave a detailed account of Scrigmore's crimes, but stopped short of saying who killed the minister in his office. At this point, it is an active investigation, and the ministry is going to reveal the details in due time," Potter said.
She was surprised that they had left her out of this, but relieved at the same time. The last thing she needed right now was for her face plastered on newspaper articles. When she looked up, she saw Draco feverishly writing on a scroll, and she could guess who it was to. "Snape?" she asked, and he nodded.
"For the time being, it's safest for you to stay here. And I mean, only here."
She hated the idea of being trapped in the manor all day, but she understood it. This was like a vault, and Bellatrix was hell-bent on getting to her now. If anything, Draco's betrayal had her even more determined than she had been before. He stared at the floor, hands on his hips, and by the expression on his face, she could tell he was thinking the same thing. Angry with himself for the mistake, for the miscalculation on his part. He couldn't have known that she was not killable at present, but she knew better than to try to convince him of that. Opening a button on his shirt, she saw flecks of blood on his chest.
"I'm going to take a shower,"
he said absently as he walked upstairs. It was past 1 a.m, and she was increasingly terrified of having to go to sleep. The thought made her stomach churn. Instead, she walked up to the bathroom and walked inside. The room was steamy from the hot water, and Draco stood in the shower, hands pressed against the wall, head hanging low as water ran down his body. She saw a deep purple bruise where one of the guys had punched him in the kidney. She got undressed and stepped into the shower. He still hadn't noticed her until she touched his back softly and he almost jumped. She moved in front of him and smiled when he stood entirely still, observing her closely. Her hands traced his stomach, feeling the hard muscles tensing further under her touch. His eyes travelled slowly down her body. She brought herself closer to him until she felt his skin against hers. That wasn't the only thing she felt. She wrapped her hand around his cock and slowly moved it up and down, feeling him get harder. His teeth clenched together as his eyes darkened, but otherwise he remained motionless, hands still pressed against the wall on either side of her. He clearly wanted this as much as her, but he was holding back. She wrapped her arms around his neck and drew him closer to her, teasing his lower lip. Her hand ran through his wet hair as their tongues met. He pulled her even closer to him, and feeling his hard cock against her stomach made her tingle with excitement and ache with need. When he broke the kiss, he stared at her with her heavy breaths, and she felt him internally debating something. Perhaps it was still his guilt about what he had done in Scrigmore's office. Maybe it was him being aware of how he had just brutally killed two men. But Hermione didn't care about any of that at the moment. She just didn't want to face her own darkness again. Not just yet. "I want this," she said, looking up at his eyes. He seemed still not convinced. "Make me forget everything else for a moment longer," she said. He kissed her hard, claiming her mouth fervently, and then he lifted her by the back of her thighs with ease, pressing her against the wall. His hand went between her legs, and she moaned into his mouth as his fingers stroked her clit in slow, determined circles. She leaned her head against the wall, feeling the heat spread in her body.
"Always so fucking wet," he mused in her ear.
He pushed a finger inside of her and she felt the cool, abrasive metal of his ring in her.
"You remember this, don't you?"
he asked, and she jerked her hips against him, needing more. More friction, more contact, more of him. He added a second finger, increasing the pressure, and she choked on a moan.
"That's it. Ride my hand," he said approvingly. "Make yourself come around my fingers."
He leaned down and sucked her nipple into his mouth until he balanced it between his teeth. She felt so close, urging his fingers deeper with every jerk of her hip. He rewarded her with a flick of his thumb, slowly stroking her clit as his fingers kept pumping in and out of her until her orgasm ripped through her with force.
"That's a good girl," he praised,
as he continued to stroke her. When the last tremors had stopped, he removed his hand from her and she waited for his next move, but instead he looked at her apprehensively.
"Are you sure?"
he asked. She nodded. "Very." He whispered the charm and then she felt him at her entrance as he slowly pushed inside of her. They both moaned when he was fully inside, and then he started to pick up a punishing pace, deep and hard. She wanted nothing less. Her hands clawed at his shoulders, feeling his muscles flex with each move. The hot water was cascading down on them as he thrust into her to the hilt. His mouth was on her neck, lips and teeth and tongue. His hand crashed against the wall next to her.
"Fuck!"
He stretched the word out with an exhale. Perhaps they were both damned. But in that moment she didn't want to let anyone burn her but him. His hand in her hair, he tilted her head back, kissing her hard. It felt like they shared one ecstatic breath. He only broke the kiss to curse between teeth. She arched her spine against him, locked her legs around his waist tightly to draw him even closer, feel him even deeper. He groaned against her neck, a sound so primal it reverberated in her body. The fact that she could make him sound like this made her inch closer to her climax. He pushed her against the wall with his body even further, and then he rolled his hips against her, slow and controlled, hitting that spot just perfectly. With a smile, he watched her come undone. Her legs around him shook, and she screamed his name as she went over the edge. His movements picked up in pace and he followed her quickly. They stared at each other breathlessly for a moment before he kissed her and her hands went into his hair. She noticed the water had stopped and he carried her out of the shower. Then he broke the kiss and sat her down, handing her a towel. She wrapped it around her and before she could say anything else, he scooped her into his arms again and started carrying her to his bedroom. If she was a normal girl, this would have made her giddy, but she wasn't normal. If she stayed in his bed and had another nightmare, who knows what she'd do this time? Her eyes scanned the guest bedroom as they walked past it.
Don't you even dare suggest you're sleeping anywhere else but in my bed tonight, he said with a smirk.
She bit her lips together as he carried her into his bedroom, his brows furrowed, and he put her down.
I understand if, after what happened today, you don't feel...
Oh, no, she interrupted. It's not that. He had thought because of what he had done in Scrigmore's office, she didn't want to share a bed with him. He looked confused.
Then what is it?
What if I get a nightmare? For a moment he was still, and then he started to chuckle.
That's your big dilemma. Why would it matter?
Last time I scratched you.
I think I survived it. Narrowly,
he teased with a smirk. I'm serious, she protested.
So am I, though I think I might still be dizzy from the blood loss I suffered that day.
She crossed her arms over her chest. Malfoy.
Oh, it's Malfoy again, is it?
He grinned, enjoying this all way too much for her liking. When she still glared at him angrily, he pulled her towards him.
I don't care if you have a nightmare. I'd rather be here and wake you up from it. I'm glad I was there last time. In fact, I want to be there every time.
You have once again smooth-talked your way out of this one, she said with a smirk, and he grinned at her. She walked around his room as he pulled out a pair of boxers from a drawer. The last time she was here, she had no time to really look at his room. She was so terrified he might find out she was on Veritaserum. She had tried to get out of there as soon as possible. She noticed the neatly stacked books on the table, the quill and ink with a Slytherin symbol on it. His closet was, unsurprisingly, filled with a variety of dark suits. She ran a hand over the row of button-down shirts. Everything was black and white. No colours. Not even green. There was one green tie, she noticed, neatly folded with all the other ties. Cufflinks in various shapes and sizes, some with his initials, some with a Slytherin snake on it. He watched her carefully as she took inventory of his clothes. She grabbed one of his white-collar shirts and put it on. It had to be a fresh one, since the one he wore earlier was covered in someone else's blood. She walked back to him and tossed the towel at his face. He caught it with one hand, and then he grabbed her around the waist and pulled her to his bed. She squealed and he laughed. She moved under the covers, and he slid in behind her, wrapping his arm around her and bringing her close to his warm body. He kissed her neck gently, and for the first time in forever, she felt herself relax. Perhaps there was still one place where she was safe. Draco's arms. The room. Laughter. Bellatrix's eyes in the darkness. And once again, Hermione was frozen to the ground. She couldn't move.
Well, 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 Bellatrix said with a wide grin. Like a fly on honey.
Pain shot through her arm with familiarity. She was so tired of it all. Tired of feeling this helpless.
It doesn't have to be this way, Bellatrix said. You know how this ends, dear, don't you? Why fight the inevitable? You can just give yourself up and I won't make it last too long. It won't be painful for much longer if you let me help you.
I'd rather be in eternal agony than help you, Hermione hissed.
Be my guest,
Bellatrix said with a chuckle, and Hermione's arm felt like it was on fire. Magic that sliced through her with precision. She just had to get out of this room. Move your feet, she tried to command herself, but nothing happened. Tears of pain and frustration were falling down her face. She didn't want to be helpless. Just this once. She remembered how she felt when she had held Voldemort's wand, or when she used the Relic of Death. For once she had commanded the dark magic in her. She had been its master, not the other way around. Her hand gripped her arm harder and she tried to focus on the magic pulsating through her. Instead of fighting it, she was going to embrace it. Her magic tangled with Bellatrix's, and she felt suddenly a calm wash over her.
a certainty. She could move her feet if she wanted to. She was in control. When she opened her eyes, Bellatrix stopped laughing and cocked her head in confusion. Then Hermione ran. It was the most freeing feeling she had ever experienced. She was finally going to escape her nightmares. She opened the door and ran out, but then her heart froze. She was back in the room again. She ran to the door and opened it, only to find herself in the room again. Everything was slowly spinning around her. Bellatrix was no longer there, but she had that sinking feeling that this was worse. She tried it 3 more times, each time landing back in the room. Her body was trembling. She just needed to wake up. "Wake up!" she screamed at herself. But she was still in the room.
"Hermione?" Draco said softly as he walked towards her.
He had never been in one of her nightmares before. What if this was a trick? Bellatrix disguised. She took a step backwards as he slowly walked towards her, still only wearing his boxers.
"Stay back," she said, and he stopped. "It's all right. I'm just getting you back to bed," he said, holding out a hand to her.
"I'm in bed and asleep. That's part of the problem. I need to wake up."
"No, you're downstairs in the ballroom. Why didn't we go back upstairs?"
He held out a hand and she was still feeling increasingly terrified.
"You're not real," she said, with a tremor in her voice.
"This isn't a dream, Hermione."
"It is, because this is the room for my nightmares. You can't be in that room. That's how I know it's not real." His hand dropped and he looked almost ill.
"You don't remember?"
Not a question, a statement.
"I don't remember what?"
He inhaled deeply and closed his eyes.
"I didn't know. I would have told you otherwise."
"What are you talking about?"
"Hermione, the room Bellatrix tortured you in. It was here in Malfoy Manor."
"No, it wasn't. Snatchers brought us somewhere and then they separated us."
"They brought you to Malfoy Manor."
Everything from that day was so murky. Only that one moment replayed with complete clarity in her mind over and over again.
"No, you're just saying that because you're a figment of my imagination. And now that I finally was able to move to fight back, what a cruel way for Bellatrix to get back at me."
"I didn't fight back either. I let it happen to you. Your screams from that night are carved into my psyche. I was so disgusted with myself for not doing anything to stop her. I was determined to fight back against them, in whatever way I could."
Suddenly, fragments of that night reappeared in her mind. She saw his father, his mother, him, in the same room. He had been there. How had she forgotten? How had she forgotten it was in this very mansion? She remembered what he looked like when she had screamed from the pain. He had closed his eyes and bit his teeth together as if it had pained him too. They had both been kids. They never should have been in that position. Attentively, he walked towards her, like she was an injured animal, and he wanted to make sure she knew she was no longer in danger.
"How did I get here?" she asked.
"You probably sleepwalked down here."
Where would she go to the very room she saw in her nightmares? She looked around, unsure of what she was looking for. Furniture was draped in sheets. Dust had settled on some of the paintings. He hadn't used the room since then, closed the door and never looked at it again.
"How would I even know where to find this room?" she asked.
"I don't know. A coincidence?"
No. This didn't feel like a coincidence. Her heart was hammering in her chest. This felt wrong. Something cold settled over her, like a cloud. She swallowed hard.
Draco,
Then she felt a pull and Draco's eyes widened with horror as he launched himself towards her. But it was too late. One moment she looked into his terror-struck eyes. The next she was pulled away and rushed through the air until she fell hard on the floor. She saw Bellatrix's eyes and then everything turned dark until all she knew was pain. Chapter 40. Her head was pounding, and there was a dripping sound in the distance that seemed to pierce her skull. Her tongue felt heavy, her mouth dry. Slowly she blinked her eyes open, trying to orientate herself. She had no recollection of how she got there. It looked like a cellar. She closed her eyes for a minute longer, trying to adjust to the sunlight that seemed too bright. The pain in her head was relentless. She felt so weak. Even opening her eyes had been hard work. Through the haze of discomfort, she suddenly remembered. Bellatrix. Her eyes flashed open and she tried to get up, but she was restrained on a gurney by her wrists and ankles. Panic was now burning hotter than pain. Then she looked at her arm, dark veins spidering from the old scar.
No,
she whispered hoarsely, feeling tears well in her eyes. Bellatrix had begun the magical extraction. She had told Draco it would take 3 days. This must be day one. Hermione tried to wriggle against the restraints, but to no avail. There was fear, and then there was a quiet horror that settled in her, now as she understood that this was how it was going to end. She was sobbing for a while. The only sound was the slow dripping of water. When she woke up again, the sun was setting. She knew what that meant. Time was running out. Soon day two would begin, and she didn't know how conscious she'd be after that. How could anyone even find her? They still didn't know where Bellatrix was. The door opened and she almost yelped with fear. But it wasn't Bellatrix. It was a man with large glasses and a glass of water.
"Ah, you're awake," he said and walked closer to her. "I figured you'd be thirsty."
The last thing she wanted to do was accept anything from these monsters, but her mouth was so parched it was raw. She lifted her head and he brought the glass to her lips. The water felt cool and soothing against her tongue.
"Who are you?"
she croaked, her voice still not fully complying.
"Dr. Alan Hill. I'm here to observe your magical transitioning."
"You mean you're here to watch me slowly die?" she corrected.
He readjusted his glasses and said nothing. The diagnostic spell showed what she had suspected. A third of Bellatrix's magic was gone, but had depleted her magic as well. It was slowly restabilizing. That's why Bellatrix couldn't take everything at once. Hermione would be dead before she got all the dark magic out of her. This way, she recovered just enough to endure the next part of it.
"Your magic has rebounded well," he said,
as if she was merely an experiment.
"I'm not a lab rat, Doctor. Didn't you swear an oath to do no harm?"
He looked up from the notebook he was writing in.
"You're a mudblood, and I think your kind is an abomination to wizardry, but you have been of great service to Miss Lestrange."
He left and closed the door, and she watched the last bit of sunlight disappear. His skin was crawling. Every second that passed felt like hours. The moment Hermione disappeared into darkness seemed like a lifetime ago. Snape's network of spies had discovered several of Bellatrix's last locations, but each one of them turned out to be nothing. She was too clever to leave traces. He was running out of time. He had spent hours on this wild goose chase and had nothing to show for it. If he couldn't find her, then she would die. It was 6 p.m. when he burst into the Great Hall at Hogwarts, finding Potter there as expected. He was talking with several other Aurors and the stupid weasel.
T-
tell me your precious ministry is currently doing more than standing around and talking?
He fumed at Potter.
We're trying to find her and want to as much as you do, Potter responded.
Doubtful. He was ready to set the whole world on fire and watch it all burn down if it meant he was able to get to her safely. Meanwhile, the pricks from the ministry were mostly interested in stopping Bellatrix.
I think our missions are decidedly different, Potter. The ministry doesn't care about Hermione. They care about Bellatrix.
That's the same thing. Ending Bellatrix means saving Hermione.
It's not the same thing, because Hermione doesn't have 3 days. But the ministry doesn't care. Last time your precious minister wanted to kill her, because that would have been a simpler solution.
That was Scrigmore. He's dead now.
You think the rest of the ministry isn't still operating like that? Merlin, could you get off your fucking high horse?
You don't think I'm doing everything I can to find her?
Surely you're not breaking any of your precious rules.
He felt the anger in him rise, coming to a boiling point.
We don't even know where she is. If we did, I'd do anything to rescue her.
You're telling me your entire ministry is incapable of finding her? What the fuck are you good for? Nothing but cowards in fancy uniforms.
Potter's eyes darkened.
Rich, coming from you, I'm not the one who lost her. I'm not the one who didn't know there was a portal in my own home.
It felt like a gut punch, because it was true. It had been his fault. Once again, he wasn't able to protect her. Draco saw red.
What the fuck did you just say to me?
He stepped closer to him, ready to keep him from speaking ever again.
Mate?
Nott's hand fell with a weight on his shoulder as he held him back.
Why don't we get some fresh air?
He saw everyone in the Great Hall staring at them.
I don't fucking need fresh air,
he hissed.
Come on,
he said with that look that Draco knew too well. Nott had that talent for calling him out on his bullshit. While knocking out Potter would feel momentarily satisfying, it wasn't going to help him find Hermione any quicker. Nott pulled him along as they walked through the hallway, and Draco felt raw with panic.
I don't know how to find her,
he said with a tense voice.
I don't have much time and I have no clue where she is.
They walked outside and the fact that the sun was setting made the anxiety in him rise even faster. Time was ticking away. Regardless of what he knew, regardless of what he did, all that anger, all that rage, it had no outlet. He could do nothing. Just sit and wait. Draco was pacing up and down while Nott just stared at him.
Just tell me what to do,
Draco said.
Tell me what the fuck to do because I think I'm going insane.
For once, force wasn't going to solve his problems. He couldn't fight his way out of this. Even if he could find her, he couldn't kill Bellatrix. He'd kill every one of her Death Eater soldiers, but then what? Bellatrix would simply apparate away again. His skin felt too hot. Something clawed through his chest. Perhaps heartbreak? He felt like he was about to be sick.
What did Snape say?
Nott asked helplessly, because how the fuck would he know what to do? Draco's fingernails dug into his palms.
Every lead he had turned out to be nothing, and Bellatrix either put us on the wrong trail on purpose, or she switched locations so many times that her trail is long gone.
What did he say about how much time you have?
How much time before Hermione is dead?
Bellatrix said it takes 3 days total. This is day one.
He didn't want to speak the next part out loud, because even hearing it could barely stomach it.
But Hermione doesn't have 3 days. According to Snape, by day two she's no longer herself. She won't be more than a shell. A beating heart, but no brain function.
His stomach rolled, and he gripped the wall as he leaned over and gagged. But since he hadn't eaten anything, there was nothing to come up. Nott patted his shoulder,
I don't know what to say, other than I'm here to help in whatever way I can.
Draco closed his eyes. Pathetic. It was his father's voice in his ears. You're a disappointment, Draco. He hated his father for everything he had done to him, and to his mother. But on this point he would have to agree with him.
Draco heard someone clear their throat. It was that stupid Dominic kid Hermione had been hanging around with.
What do you want? Draco asked.
I heard you can't find Hermione.
Very perceptive for a Ravenclaw, Draco hissed in response. What gave it away? The fact that the entire ministry is here, or that it's plastered on every newspaper?
Dominic nervously rubbed the back of his neck. Well, Hermione and I used to work on potions together. She took my thesis potion before it was ready. I shouldn't have, but I guess I wasn't clear enough on the side effect, and you're the tosser who gave her the shield potion.
He nodded.
Wonderful,
Draco said, and the rage was bubbling in him once again.
I was wondering who to thank for her risking her life.
Not gave him the cut the bullshit stare again. Fine. He took a breath.
Go on,
Not told the Ravenclaw.
Anyway, during it, I found out about your apparition mishap.
Draco felt his teeth crunch together so hard he was sure he cracked something.
I swear to Merlin, if you're here to talk about some academic bollocks, I'm going to kill you.
Sorry, Dominic said. I'm bad at this, but I swear this story has a point.
Then get to it, quickly.
Yes, so when you were hurt and apparated to Knott's estate,
Draco exchanged a glance with Knott, who seemed equally perplexed.
You meant to apparate home. You didn't know what happened, correct?
Draco crossed his arms over his chest to keep them from strangling the Ravenclaw.
The point. Get there.
Right, so I'm of the opinion that it wasn't a mistake. When your state of mind is altered, it leads to your subconsciousness taking over. When you wanted to apparate home, it took you to where you truly believe home is.
If it weren't for the morbidity of the situation, Knott would have a field day with someone saying he assumed Knott Estate to be his home.
What in Merlin's name does that have to do with finding Hermione?
Draco asked, patience wearing thin. Dominic took a deep breath.
Because she is your home.
Draco felt the blood in him drain.
You didn't apparate to Knott's house. You apparated to her.
That would mean he could do it again. He could apparate straight to her.
How sure are you of that?
Draco asked, suddenly intensely interested in what came out of the nerd's mouth.
You don't even know me.
True. I must admit it is more of an educated guess, since she did the same thing. When she took my potion that had Veritaserum in it,
she apparated to me.
Draco finished the sentence and Dominic nodded. Everything fell aside for a moment as Draco took that information in. This was his way to get to her, to find her when nobody else could.
Hermione. She wasn't sure what was worse, sleeping through these last hours of her life or enduring the agonising wait for it all to end. The room was now dark, aside from a bit of moonlight that fell through the window. She closed her eyes and tried to think of better things, but right when she did that, she heard Bellatrix's voice in the hallway.
It's working, she said with a laugh. Snape's spies are in an endless wild goose chase. By the time they figure it out, it will be too late.
But then she realised Bellatrix wasn't in the hallway. Hermione was able to see her, standing in a room with a fireplace. That's when it dawned on her. Harry had this strange connection with Voldemort. She had the same with Bellatrix. For a while she was able to listen in on their conversation, and then she heard a loud bang. Bellatrix looked shocked.
What is that?
Whatever it is, the wards around this castle will hold.
Another loud bang, and suddenly Hermione saw flames outside of her window. They were in the distance, but it was an unmistakable magical fire. She had lost her vision of Bellatrix as she stared at the flames licking higher and higher. The door burst open and Bellatrix marched in with two men by her side.
"We are prepared for this," she said with a smile.
With a flick of her wand, Hermione's restraints were lifted as one man grabbed her forcefully and pulled her to her feet. She was wobbly at best, and standing seemed to make her dizzy. Her hands were bound with magical binds. They marched her outside, almost dragging her since her feet couldn't keep up. She felt so weak. The doors to the front of the castle opened, and Bellatrix pulled her towards her, digging her wand into her neck. In the ring of flames, she saw Draco. He had found her. He had come for her. Draco's gaze was hard and set on Bellatrix, but for a second it flickered to Hermione, and just for that brief moment his eyes softened, as if he had dropped the occlumency just for her.
"I was hoping you would come for her," Bellatrix said with a grin. "Otherwise, I didn't know how to punish you for your betrayal. You choose a mudblood over your own flesh and blood, Draco! What better way to teach you right from wrong than making her scream in your presence?"
Draco was a statue of darkness in his black suit. The flames behind him drenched his pale face in crimson. He looked menacing. But he was alone. What was his angle here? He knew he couldn't kill Bellatrix. She had never even seen him this devoid of emotion. Never seen him use occlumency so vigorously. He didn't react to anything Bellatrix said. Didn't move. Not even his breathing seemed to change.
"You know you can't defeat me," Bellatrix said. "You're welcome to watch as I slowly kill her. She screamed a lot last night. I'm sure you'll be able to hear it from outside."
"I'm not here to defeat you," Draco said in an even tone. "I'm here to make a deal."
Hermione felt the tip of Bellatrix's wand buried deeper and deeper into her skin.
"What makes you think I'm interested in a deal with you?"
"Because you'll get more out of it, and I know you can't refuse a good offer."
Hermione was utterly lost. She had no idea where he was going with this.
"What can you possibly have to offer?"
"Me. In exchange for her."
Bellatrix cackled.
"Darling, I love your enthusiasm. Truly. But what would I want with you? She has my power."
He shrugged.
"You're not thinking it through. See, right now I can't kill you, because she is still alive. The second she is dead..."
His face darkened. His features seemed to hollow.
"I will be your living nightmare. I will hunt you to the ends of this earth. You won't be able to breathe without thinking of me. Behind every corner you will see my face. I'm free from the Imperius curse. I can do what I want now, and my only mission in life would be to kill you. And we know I'm better at it now than you are, Aunt."
He said the word like an insult.
"Kill her, and you will have created an enemy for a lifetime, and I will make sure yours will be short, and your death agonizing. You'll have my word."
Bellatrix huffed a laugh, but Hermione felt her body tense. She took the threat seriously.
"You think I would give up my power to eliminate you as a threat?"
He shook his head.
"No, I never said you would have to give up your power. According to Snape's research, you have enough back now to implant it in me. Since I'm your flesh and blood, as you so eloquently put it, and since I also have the dark mark, it wouldn't take long for me to enhance your dark magic. More than enough to replenish you."
Hermione thought this was a trick. Another one of his schemes, but this felt increasingly real. Bellatrix turned to her doctor.
"Is that true?"
"A fascinating proposition," Dr. Hill said. "Yes, it would work since he's your nephew. Obviously, the new subject would also expire at the end of the transition."
Expire? Like a carton of milk. This couldn't be Draco's plan. Bellatrix would regain her full powers and start a war when he would die. Hermione tried to make eye contact with him, but he didn't even look at her.
You would get two in one, Draco said. Your powers back and me eliminated as a threat.
That doesn't make any sense, one of Bellatrix's men said.
Why would he give his life if it means his side still loses in the end?
And that's when Hermione realised. This was no scheme. This was it. A cool and calculated offer. Well thought out.
My side?
Draco asked with a sinister smirk.
What do you presume that to be? I frankly don't give a damn if they lose. Let them all die a tragic death as far as I'm concerned. Burn Hogwarts to the ground. Destroy the Ministry. Let thousands die. I don't care.
Then he pointed at Hermione without looking at her.
She is all I care about.
Hermione felt tears of panic well in her. She shook her head fiercely.
No, you can't!
His eyes met hers for the first time in what felt like forever. Cold and hard.
I'm not Potter. I never said I was the hero in your story.
He was the villain, ready to sacrifice the world for her. Her heart ached. Draco looked back at Bellatrix.
I'll take an unbreakable vow. You get to use me as your power vessel if you let her go and won't harm her. Now and after my death. You'll swear it in blood.
A blood oath was the dark magic equivalent to an unbreakable vow. Only instead of being tied to the person somehow vowed and unbreakable to, a blood oath was tied to oneself. If Bellatrix broke the oath, she'd die. His aunt was considering the offer, which made Hermione feel sick to her stomach.
You will surrender your wand and agree to magical binding cuffs, she asked.
He nodded.
I want her safety guaranteed before I hand over my wand.
Bellatrix was still debating the offer internally.
You know it's the better deal, Draco said. If you get your power back by killing her, you won't have much longer to live. I'll make sure of it. Let her live, and I'm handing you a way to win the war. And keep your life.
Hermione felt already dizzy, and now her eyes swam with tears as she continuously said no, but nobody seemed to pay any attention to her.
All right, you have yourself a deal, Bellatrix said, and she called one of her men over to take Hermione. No, Draco, please don't do this, she screamed, as a man pulled her away.
Bellatrix walked towards Draco, and he met her in the middle. Everyone had their wands pointed at Draco. There had to be a plan. This couldn't be it. But then they locked arms, and she saw the golden strings between them as they were sworn in on the unbreakable vow. Next, she signed an oath in her blood. He was really doing this. She felt so defeated, so weak and tired of her innate helplessness. Even when it was done, she was still waiting for some revelation, some trick he had up his sleeve.
Hand over your wand, Bellatrix commanded.
Let her go first, Draco responded. Otherwise you could simply kill me, and then still use her. I want her safety guaranteed.
How do you want us to do that? The second we let her go, you could snatch her up and disappear.
I have thought of that conundrum.
His hand went to the inner breast pocket of his jacket.
Don't move!
One of Bellatrix's men said, as all of them still had their wands pointed at him.
Just getting a scroll,
he assured with a smile, and pulled out a scroll, wrote something down and sent it off. With a crack of apparition, Nott appeared.
Nott, could you do me a favour and bring Hermione back to Hogwarts?
Draco said, while still staring at Bellatrix.
The second he has her in his hands, I'll surrender my wand.
Nott started walking, but Bellatrix stopped him with a raised hand.
Under one condition. Get on your knees, place your wand in front of you, and place your hands behind you. I won't come for your wand until he has your little mudblood girlfriend.
Draco huffed a laugh.
Fine.
He pulled out his wand and placed it on the ground and took 3 steps back. Then he got on his knees and placed his hands behind his head. Not started to walk towards Hermione.
No! She screamed. I don't want this! No deal! You hear me? No fucking deal!
Her voice was raw with emotion as Not marched towards her and Draco was on his knees, not looking at her. Not's expression was pained when he reached her. She couldn't fight back since her hands were bound and she felt so weak. But she couldn't just go along with this.
No!
She screamed again. As the guy behind her let her go, she slumped to the floor, her only way of resisting. Not sighed and tried to grab her, but she resisted.
Don't let him do this! She yelped.
Not! Get her the fuck out of here!
Draco's voice was strained.
I won't be able to live with myself if you do this!
She screamed at Draco, who still didn't look at her. Not put his arms around her waist and pulled her up.
Come on, Granger,
he said with a tight voice. He lifted her and she screamed, kicking her legs, but he didn't let her go. This was it. She stared at Draco for a second. He turned his head and looked at her one last time. For the briefest moment, he lifted his occlumency and his eyes shimmered with emotion before they froze over again. She wanted to tell him she loved him, but she couldn't because it sounded like a goodbye, and she couldn't say goodbye to him. The panic in her was so raw, she felt like she was ripped apart from it. As Not pulled her away, the last image she saw was of Bellatrix destroying Draco's wand and putting him under a Crucio curse. He fell to the ground, tremors going through him, as 2 men placed magical binding cuffs on him. And then Not disapparated her back to Hogwarts.